It's a great delight to be here. You probably have seen us fairly often and sort of wondered about us. Well, keep wondering, because here today and gone tomorrow. We head off for 7.5 weeks to Israel and then the UK. So we're going to miss you all, but I know that the Holy Spirit has got plans for you. And while we were worshipping, as I often do, I see a water tank, you know, and it's like the Lord's filling the tank, and we need water in this dry and thirsty land, but it's His water, His refreshing water. But today, it's something different. I also saw a wheat silo. So that means food and drink and it being poured out. I believe that the Lord has got something really special for His church in this state, in this nation, coming starting as of now. I believe we're right at the place where God is going to hear the call of our heart. Do we want more? Hands up for those who want more. I know you do. We want more. But I believe that what I saw in the Spirit was the fact that He is going to provide the more. All our food, all our drink, but spiritually as well as physically. And while I was there worshipping, as we were singing that song about the touch of your hand, I actually felt the Lord touch my shoulder. And I know He's here to touch each and every one of us today. So that's the first part. And a few weeks ago, this is where the message has come from. We're calling it Colour Me, because I saw an image of an open page of a child's colouring in book, and that was just open to this page, and whatever was outlined there was colourless. All it was the white page with the outline of whether it was a person. I don't know exactly what the image was, but it represented, the Lord showed me, that it represented a human's life, but something was lacking. It needed the master painter to provide what was missing. He wanted to colour us. He wanted to bring the light and to colour us. And so this is what we're really talking about today, and we're acting it out as well. We've got a master painter here, or a mistress painter, whichever way you like. So Karen will be drawing, painting as we speak. And she will. You'll probably get the message from her even better than from Tom and I, because a picture says 1,000 words, doesn't it? And Tom and I might say 2,000 words, but that picture will be worth it, be worth more. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. And now, firstly, we're going to look at the whole picture, and then we're going to look at individuals as a picture, because whatever the Lord has done out there, He's also done in each one of us. So we'll look at the big picture of what the master painter has done, and Tom will speak about that, and I'll get down to the nitty-gritty for individuals. Okay, thank you.
The passage that Ben read to us from the beginning of Genesis talks about the very beginnings. You know, the first line in the Bible, Bereshit bara Elohim ve'et hashamim ve'et haaretz. Now, don't think I'm a Hebrew whiz. That's the only bit of Hebrew I can quote, okay? But it's one that I can quote. In the beginning, it starts off with in the beginning, before we were there, before anyone we know was there, when there was nothing. You know, every people on the earth have got some story about what happened in the beginning. Usually it's called a myth. And myth has got the connotation of most people of being fairy tale, lies, untruth. Of all the myths that there is one myth. In other words, one explanation of eating that is true. That's the one we had read to us this morning and the bits going on from that. In the beginning, created, bara. It's a word that says not the creativity of the artist or the poet or the engineer or the musician or the like. They all use something that's there and just rearrange it. And some can do it extremely beautifully and well. This creation was from nothing. It was nothing. and God created all there is from it. So all the creativity of humanity is just to rearrange some of what God made from nothing. God, right in the beginning, it saw Elohim, the Greek word, Hebrew word Elohim, is plural. It was God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit right there in the beginning. And then the interesting bit that I want to highlight from this is a little word which I don't know of any English translation which actually translates this word. It's twice in that sentence. Right at the very beginning, all our English Bibles have got something missing. It's the little word et, little Hebrew word et. It actually means exactly the same as back in Revelation, where it talks about Jesus being the Alpha and the Omega. Alpha and Omega, they're the first and last letters of the Greek alphabet. Sounds like A to Z. If I had a book here, this is the Bible, this is A to Z. If I had a book and it said the A to Z of golf, what the author is saying is, you read this book, learn it all and apply it, and you'll play a perfect round of golf. I never will, but some of you might. This word, et, is Aleph Tav, the first and the last letters of the Hebrew alphabet. What it's saying is, in a very succinct way, which was so succinct that all the English translators didn't know how to translate it, so they left it out, unfortunately. What it's saying is that everything that you can find, understand, think about, explain scientifically or artistically or whatever about what God has made, God did it. It's all between the Aleph and the Tav. It's all the A to Z. Everything we can express is from God. It's all His. He did it all. So whatever you find out about it, just remember it fits in that framework. God made it all. Lots of other things about it that God talks a bit further on about how some of the ways of how God made things, what happened. One of the things that I find is tremendous in my understanding of God's creation is a rainbow. You know, most people like seeing rainbows. I like seeing rainbows. It's a reminder of one of God's promises. And I'm not going to go into try and explain why there was a rainbow before the flood of Noah and why there was afterwards. I think there is a good explanation. If you want to talk about it, I'll come and ask me afterwards, because it might take a bit too long. But it was God's promise He would never again flood the earth, never again destroy the earth with a flood. It's a specific reminder of that. Similar to God's promise that He will never leave us or forsake us. And just a little thing about the rainbow. Don't let other people hijack it. There are several organisations around who want to use the rainbow to signify something which really is flooding the earth with evil, ultimately. Don't let them. You know, God made it all. The only things that are used for evil are corrupting what God has done. Okay, hang on to the rainbow. It's a promise from God. It's not from some other, not no other organisation has got any right to it. God colours us. We're talking about the title of our talk this morning is Colour Me. And there's all sorts of different analogies we could use for this, but Colour Me. You know, there was a song that don't ask me to sing it because I won't, Petula Clark sang. Colour My World. Colour My World, paint it with your love. Last week, David spoke about love. You know, it's a command, we're to love. But it's not like we shouldn't be following that command like as if we're in the army and we've been told to do something that might be ridiculous. The Lord tells us to do it because He knows it is way above the best thing we can do. And so we're coloured in all sorts of different ways. But there are a variety of colours. It's not only good colours, there's also wrong colours. Isabel talked about the picture, you know, the colouring in book, which has some outlines for someone to colour in. And all of us have seen our children or grandchildren or the kids next door fill in colouring books, and some of them have looked quite beautiful, and some of it's like, oh yeah, that's lovely, isn't it? And we forget about where the lines were and the outlines were, and someone is learning how to apply colours. But we need to understand that we were out, you know, we are created by God to be his workmanship, his masterpiece. And so if we're going to become that masterpiece, we're going to have the colours applied to our lives carefully. And sometimes the colours need to be corrected. There's a lot of art restorers who've looked at masterpieces and have actually found there's actually about three or four or more, sometimes more layers of paint behind that the artist didn't like what he did first up, so changed it. Isn't that like us? Sometimes what was great yesterday or 10 years ago, it needs to be something a little different today. And so we need to have a little bit of a touch-up or a recolouring sometimes. The master artist conceived the shape and was waiting for the shape to be submitted to the colouring process. The master artist is the Lord. But how does he apply the colour to our lives? It's all got to come from him. But how does it come? How are our lives coloured? Well, lots of many, many different influences. Firstly, any significant person in your life. The first colour that comes to our lives is usually from our mothers, and very soon after from our fathers, but from our significant people in our lives. Now, to some of us, that's great. Yeah, we're aware that we were given some good colours in our lives from our parents. There are possibly some of us here who'd say, oh, hang about, there's a few bits of colour that I received from my mother or father that I really am not happy about. What else colours our lives? Any demonic spirit. And there are demonic spirits all around the place. Western society tends to like to deny them, but I'm sorry, they're real. Denial has never done away with anything. There's also the Holy Spirit, most importantly. Life's ups and downs colour us. Illnesses, accidents, weather, natural phenomena, rain, sunshine, storm, tornado, earthquake, flood, fire, sinkhole, volcano, iceberg, tsunami, avalanche, blizzard, meteorite, desert sandstorm, charging elephant, great white shark, funnel web spider, box jellyfish, snake. What things colour our lives? Some of those things do. I've got a practical example here. In this box here, I've got some, I think we call them huntsmen, hairy spiders. I'm going to open this box and I'm going to walk around and drop one of these in people's laps and see how that has coloured their lives. Now, how do you think this is, what effect? This will show, one, how it's going to colour a person's life from today and what's coloured their lives in the past. Oh, Debbie, how about you first? Oh my goodness, they've all escaped. Oh well. Must have left the box open last night, sorry. Some of you, if I actually had had big hairy huntsman spiders in there, some of you would have freaked out. You would have shown that some experience somewhere has coloured your life to be fairly negative. Now that's just a fairly, a simple, hopeful example of what the things that will colour our lives, all those things. I was once caught in a bushfire in 1961, I think it was, down in Dwelling Up. The whole town, the farm I was living on, everything was wiped out. It's fairly sort of scary to see a bushfire moving at about 100 miles an hour. Knowing that it's way faster than the car you're in can travel at. I'm not afraid of fire as a result of that, but I have very, very deep respect for it. And I know sometimes when I read about bushfires and the like, there's feelings come up in me that sort of will only come from having been through that experience. That's coloured my life. I don't think it's been a very negative thing in my life, but what experiences colour us and what do we do about them? Because we do have, our lives are coloured. We are the bright, vibrant, encouraging, uplifting colours, or drab, dark and depressing colours. And we have the ability in ourselves and with the work of the help of the Holy Spirit to either accept or reject. God's word says we're fearfully and wonderfully made in Psalm 139. It means there's something special about the way we're made. I can remember back in the 1960s, I think it was, hearing prominent doctors say, by the end of the 20th century, modern medicine will have discovered the cure for everything. As far as I'm aware, 15 years into the next century, they haven't actually discovered the cure for anything. They've found better ways of treating things. By the end of that century, they'd discovered far more medical information than they thought was available back in the 60s, and they realised they're still just scratching the surface. So we're fearfully and wonderfully made? Sure are. You know, we can only hardly begin to understand how we're made, how God made us, and every one of us unique. Yeah, there's no one quite like you, Lester. No, now see, that shows one of his colours, yeah. So when we receive colour from someone, when someone does something that is going to has the potential to influence us, what are we going to do? One, if it's a negative, a dark, yucky sort of colour that someone's daubed on us, we can accept it. After all, there's nothing I can do about it. Poor me, nobody loves me. Everybody hates me, so I've got to eat worms. You know, we can have that sort of attitude. I deserve all I'm getting. I'm not suggesting that's how we should respond, but that's one option. We can retaliate and hit back at, you know. So you think you can smear me with some dirt. You'll see what I can give you back. That's a fairly common option that people use. We can reject it. We can reject what happens. Don't touch me. So do your worst. I won't be affected. Or we can return a blessing in its place. We can respond with love. Or if it's a positive thing that someone has done to us, again, we can reject it. And how many people reject when someone receives a compliment, some praise, some encouragement, they reject it. Say, no, I'm not worth that. You know, hey, hang about. Didn't the Bible tell us you're fearfully and wonderfully made? God made you uniquely in his image? Are you suggesting there's something wrong about what he did? There's something that, you know, you don't deserve what God's giving you? Or we can downplay it. Or we can accept it and rejoice in what God has done for you and return an equal blessing. Now, how are we going to be coloured? I mean, part of you're going to... This weekend is a fairly significant weekend for me. I finished work, so I had to sort of it's been hectic trying to think of all the things I did so I can tell someone else what has to be done. And I've always left a job hoping that there aren't too many loose ends behind. As well as that, as Isabel said, we're going away tomorrow. Yesterday afternoon, I was working on my notes for this morning. And I didn't realise that when you open something in your computer as an attachment to an email, it doesn't save any changes you make to it unless you specifically do something. So when I went to look for it later, it wasn't there. So what you've got is version 2 this morning. And that, you know, I could have rung Mike and said, look, Mike, sorry, it's all over. You know, I've lost it. You know, we're not going to be there this morning. But I chose not to. It's okay. Lord, whatever's happened. If that was an attack of Satan, well, he can do his worst, but I know the one in me is greater than him. So, you know, I had a choice then to either to show a negative colour to affect me or a good one. So what are our colours? Yeah, I want us to think, and not only to think just what are our colours personally, but how do I colour the life of people around me? Yeah, what I'm doing, is that going to give them something positive, something bright, make them more radiant for the Lord?
Okay, version 3. Yeah, we'd been out last night and Tom finds out that he's, you know, lost all his notes and he's got to start again. That was a little bit of a trauma. I mean, quite a few things happened that I thought, really, Satan doesn't want us to preach this message? I don't know why. I mean, just the fact of, you know, a little group like us all becoming so colourful, you know, what's his problem? Us. Good. We're going to be, like I love to say, when somebody asks me how I am, I just say, dangerous to Satan. I'm not sure if he believes me or not, but anyway, I'm not going to take any of his nonsense. But talking about colours, do you know that, there's a friend of mine's sister, and when she meets somebody, she actually sees a colour that sort of speaks of her, of the person's personality and makeup. And I mean, I don't see that, but when I was working for World Vision, my boss, she told me that she saw me as blue, you know, as blue. And I'll tell you what blue says. There's meanings here, and I'll read them out to you for different colours. Blue is the colour of the sky and sea. It is often associated with depth and stability. It symbolises trust, loyalty, wisdom, confidence, intelligence, faith, truth, and heaven. I thought, obviously, she saw me like that. And I'd say, I like the colour, the sky and the blue, but, you know, depth and stability. Anyway. And actually, red. Red is the colour of fire and blood. So it is associated with energy, war, danger, strength, power, determination, as well as passion, desire and love. So there's different colours, and pretty much all of us, well, all the spectrums of the rainbow, we have a colour that's attached to us. And what makes the colour bright, of course, is the light. You know, there's no colour without light. And our light is Jesus Christ. But light, you know, there's body, different parts of the body in the body of Christ. We have different, we bring different things, but we work together. Like each of us with our, me and my blue and you with your purple or red or whatever, we make that rainbow. We show the promises of God as we walk together, as we recognise who we are and recognise the other and appreciate. Oh, I love that person that's red, their colour, and they've got strength, power and determination. So little bluey hangs along with them because they've got that power and determination. And this is why we are all so different, but we didn't know. I didn't realise that we're actually like the rainbow, very colourful. You know, that there's, we might be sitting in our business suits or whatever, but actually, you know, that person's red is their colour, and orange combines the energy of red and the happiness of yellow. So it is associated with joy, sunshine and the tropics. Orange represents enthusiasm, fascination, happiness, creativity, determination, attraction, success, encouragement and stimulation. So there's some oranges out there somewhere. Not the ones to eat, but, you know, the colour. And yellow is the colour, as you would imagine, the colour of sunshine. And it arouses, it's associated with joy, happiness, intellect and in energy. And I know a friend that is definitely a yellow. Sorry. Green is the colour of nature. It is the most restful colour for the human eye. It can improve vision. So green suggests stability and endurance. And in heraldry, green indicates growth, hope. Green, as opposed to red, means safety. And green's always been my favourite colour. So any of you greenies out there, hands up. Good on you. See, I love him because he's green. But he told the story. And purple, of course, would talk. It's got the stability of blue and the energy of red. So I think most of us have not ever thought about the fact that we've got a colour that goes with us, that we are colourful, and we're not just, you know, flesh and blood, but there's a whole lot of other things that are a part of us. And I must admit that I certainly hadn't thought about it until God gave me that blank picture and said, colour me. And the picture was obviously of a person, and it needed to be coloured. And then all together, we become that fantastic rainbow. And it was, and part of that rainbow is the fact there's a dove there, which speaks of the Holy Spirit. So that's when the light comes, and so the colours are seen in our lives because of the Holy Spirit. When a couple of weeks ago, two or three weeks ago, we were going to a birthday party, travelling down the beside the ocean, and this most beautiful rainbow appeared. I've never seen one as clear and as beautiful. It just sort of overarched completely. You know, sometimes you see just a little bit of rainbow and then it fades out. Well, we were actually going to Karen's birthday party. And so she is associated with the rainbow for me. And so that's why she's here now, sharing her fantastic gift. So we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And his individual colouring for each and every individual is to be recognised. And I'm not really good at it because this concept has only come since I had that vision a couple of weeks ago, that there is so much more than we understand about how important we are. And just imagine if one of those colours was missing out of the rainbow. Like, that's it. You would be missing, and it wouldn't look the same, and it wouldn't be complete. So we've got all spectrums of the rainbow here in terms of your personality types, you know, and how each one is just incredibly necessary for each of us all. So there's nobody that's more important, because each colour has got its own value. You might think to yourself, oh, well, I'm not going to bother about him or her, you know, they're boring or this or what. No, they're not. You just haven't found out what is so important about them and so exciting about them. Because, as Tom said earlier, we are fearfully and wonderfully made, and each one of us has been made. There is no one else completely like us on this earth. So we are special. So the individual colouring for each and every individual is to be recognised, that there is something far more than what we thought. I told you about the fact that my office manager said that I was blue, and what that meant to her, and then she said that I was like an owl. No, well, I don't think owls are very good looking, but never mind. But so I wasn't sure if that was meant to be as a compliment or not, but I think she was talking about wisdom. And I'll just give you a few examples. At one time, you know, Tom and I had been called into the ministry. We're in Devonport, Tasmania, and Tom was an engineer, and all things were bright and beautiful, and the church was going well. It had doubled since we'd started there. There'd been a move of the Holy Spirit, and all systems go. And then the Lord said, "I want you to," you know, said to Tom, "I want you to be a pastor of my people." And so we had to leave the church that we loved, that we'd been there for 5 years and seen its growth and everything. It seemed like, well, they were at their peak and then we're going. But while we were out the front and they were blessing us, there was a young woman up the back, and she said that she couldn't stay in the service because there was so much light around us, over us. So obviously that was just God, and that we'd been called. We weren't anything special, but His Spirit was with us. And I, working at Claremont Teachers College, I had a young woman by the name of Diana from New Zealand, and she worked in the library, and I didn't really have anything to do with her. But one day she just turned up at my desk and said, "Help." She was actually in a partnership living with a young man who was actually practicing witchcraft. And she wanted to get away and she couldn't. She didn't know what to do. And she didn't know me. She knew my name, but that was it. I was head of secretarial services. But she just came at my desk and just said, "Help." And anyway, we were able to help her. We got her away and we got her house somewhere, and he couldn't find her. And she accepted Christ. And so that was fantastic. But a couple of months later, I said, "You know, Diana, why did you come to me?" And she said, "Oh, that was easy. There was light all around you." We stand out, people. Do you realise that? And the colour that we are will show, because the light of Christ will shine on us. And I know you've heard of John Wimber? Yes, well, starting all vineyard churches. And I remember him saying how one time he'd been standing collecting his luggage, you know, as you're watching for your case go around. And he was standing there, and this woman who'd been standing probably as far away as Karen started to edge up on him. He's going, but he knew what was happening. And he said, "It's lovely, isn't it?" And she said, "Yes, but what is it?" The presence of Christ, the presence of God. And we take that wherever we go. So you might think that you don't stand out in a crowd. If God's wanting you, His representative there, you do. You stick out like a sore thumb. So that's the glorious thing. We carry, you know, we're part of the rainbow, and we carry His image. Where we are, Jesus is. Where we are, Jesus is. We take Jesus to a world that needs to know Him. We take the Holy Spirit to a world that needs the Holy Spirit. And we can do it. We don't have to be any other colour. We can just be who we are, and that's who we need to be. Because you or I are the one at that particular time that the Lord is going to use. So I think this is pretty awesome, but have you got anything else to say, darling? Apart from the fact that we love you all and we will miss you, but we'll see you in 8 weeks' time.
The concept of colours. Now, to some that may be sort of a bit hard to get hold of. If you saw how I often dress, you'll realise I don't have much appreciation of colours. Hey, it's comfortable, that's why you wear things. But what do colours mean to us? You know, we have known several people who have said to us, you know, when I became a Christian, seeing the world was about as big a change as changing from black and white to colour TV. And they weren't just trying to, you know, make a story. That was dinkum to them. A friend of ours who was blinded by an accident before he became a Christian, one of his deepest regrets is that all his visual memories are very dark. So what we're saying is not a, you know, is something that's another way of looking at how do we portray Jesus Christ to us. And also we need to remember that any colour, no matter how bright it is, when it's in the dark, it looks black. We will only show the colour that the Lord has given to us when we're in his light, when we're illuminated. You know, I said to Isabel on the way here, don't worry about my watch died on Saturday, on Friday. I can see the clock at the back of the church there. Well, actually, I can't because it's in the dark. I can almost make it out, but I'm not quite sure. We can only be seen when we're in the light of God's love. We need to be filled with his Spirit to truly show what our colours are. And then we'll be able to both show that to the world, but also to apply the colour that we should be to those around us, to give the encouragement, the brightness, the forgiveness, the love. You know, Jesus showed his love in some fairly graphic, dramatic, pretty painful ways. We may be called on sometimes to do things that are like that, but most often we'll just be called to be loving, caring people, to take the light of the Lord to those around us. It's our prayer that whatever you've heard us say this morning, whatever you've seen Karen painting, it will be a means of taking something of the Holy Spirit, the rainbow of God's love, his promise that he will never leave us or forsake us with you wherever you go. We don't know what expectations, we've got various expectations of what's going to happen to us in the next couple of months. We don't have an appointment with the Queen when we're in London. We're waiting for that, but it hasn't come. But we do know we've got several appointments set up by the King of Kings. And we're just waiting to know what they will be. And we just hope we're able to report some significant things in that regard to you when we come back. And more than that, hear some significant reports of what appointments with the King of Kings that you have had while we've been away. God bless you.